Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So far, sermon text. Thanks to you. In Christ Jesus, who came to save sinners like you and me, dear fellow redeemed. In the six verses that make up our sermon text this morning, the Apostle Paul briefly summarizes not only his calling to Christianity, but his calling to be missionary for Christ. He does this not to brag about himself, but he does this to encourage young pastor Timothy. For Paul's reminding Timothy that his coming into this calling as a minister of the gospel was not his doing, but rather he, Timothy, was appointed for this calling, chosen for this calling, by the Lord himself. The same goes for Paul's ministry. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy to see himself in his, in Paul's, life story. And that's our theme for our sermon text this morning. We pray the Holy Spirit lead every one of us this morning to see ourselves in Paul's life story. And first of all, we see ourselves as chief sinners. We read again verses 12 and 13 and 15 and 16 of our text. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Paul could only marvel that God would choose him to be an ambassador, a spokesman, a herald, a mouthpiece for the Lord. You cannot find a more unlikely candidate than Paul. He persecuted Christians. He blasphemed and slandered Christ Jesus. His actions were evil in regard to all those who had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's let Paul himself describe what he was like before his conversion. We read in Acts 26, Paul's words, "Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities." Paul was conducting an all-out war against Christ and against Christianity. He was zealous in his hatred for all of those of the way, as they were called. In fact, all he was doing, he thought he was doing in service to the Lord Jehovah. Paul's not trying to excuse himself when he writes, "I did it ignorantly through unbelief." He's simply saying that he was convinced that what he was doing was right. He was following his conscience, misguided as it was, in unbelief, spiritual ignorance. That did not make his actions any less wicked or his words any less blasphemous. But he also says Jesus reached out to him in his ignorance and his unbelief and enlightened him with his gifts to see the truth and to come to believe in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. It's no wonder that in the midst of this, his life story, Paul then exclaims, "This is a faithfully trustworthy statement and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners." What an amazing statement that is. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. He didn't come into the world to save the righteous, the good people. He came into the world to save the sinners. A statement that we sinners can completely rely on as trustworthy and true. As Paul meditates on this passage that he's just written, he looks at himself and he thinks about himself and he says, "Of whom I am chief." Who but the own individual person knows his own sinful heart? Oh yes, daily we hear and see of the outward sins of other people around us. It's in the news all the time. We see it in our fellow workers. But who but each of us knows the deep, dark evil that inhabits our own sinful heart? We daily see our arrogant pride. We daily see our own sinful thoughts, our own selfish, self-centered thoughts, our lustful, immoral desires, our doubts, our worries, our angry emotions, our vengeful thoughts. We hear our own godless language and words. If we're honest with ourselves, we look at God's law, which condemns us, and look at ourselves, we are so far from perfect, holy, righteous desires, thoughts, emotions, and that we just say, we are chief of sinners. When we're crushed by the law, we will then no longer make excuses. We won't compare ourselves and say, "Well, I'm at least better than him," or "I know what they've done. I'm not that bad." On the long list of sinners, I need to admit that I'm at the top of the list. Paul considered himself chief of sinners because he had denied the only true God. He had tried to destroy his Savior's name. He had led Christians to blaspheme and give up their faith. He tried to rob them of their heavenly treasures. He cites his own example as a compelling evidence of the Savior's power to save sinners. Paul had said of himself in one of his writings, he was the least of all the apostles and did not even deserve to be called an apostle. Later he also wrote of himself that he was less than least of all of God's people. When we see God's grace next to our unrighteousness, our wicked sinfulness, we will too be led to humility. We look to ourselves, and what do we see? We see sin, we see guilt, we see deserved damnation. We look to Jesus, and what do we see? We see righteousness, full and free forgiveness, and the gift of everlasting life. Paul says that his life would be a pattern for many others who come to faith in Jesus. If Paul, the chief of sinners, can be saved through the Lord Jesus' long-suffering, mercy, and grace, then anyone can be. Peter said much the same thing when he said, "The Lord is long-suffering, that is patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Yes, the law indeed leads us to see ourselves as chief of sinners. But the gospel then leads us to also see ourselves as Paul did. And that was chosen by grace, and also the recipients, the objects of Christ's patient love. Paul writes, "I obtained mercy, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus." One example Paul's life was of God's grace and patience in Christ Jesus. When we contemplate and meditate about our own sins, what do we see? We see Jesus' patience towards us. We see the Lord's long-suffering mercy and grace towards us because we sin day after day after day after being forgiven. How merciful and gracious and long-suffering and patient our Lord is with each of us. We too were conceived and born dead in sins, enemies of God. And yet, like Paul, we know that we have been declared not guilty, righteous in God's sight because of Jesus' perfect life, his innocent death on the cross, and his resurrection back to life. Paul says, and we know that we have been chosen already in eternity to be God's own, and in time have been called to the power of the gospel, worked in our hearts with the Holy Spirit. This calling for many of us occurred when we were very little in our infant baptisms. For others, maybe in your youth, maybe in adulthood, maybe in your later years. When we have received this grace and mercy, as Paul says, abundantly, literally means filling a vessel so full that it's overflowing, then we cannot help but tell others. And so Paul writes, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me." Paul is telling Timothy, and he's telling us, that the Lord Jesus had given him all strength for his ministry. It's the same Paul who said, "I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Our competence in our public ministry of God's word and our personal witnessing of God's words to each other finds all of its strength and help alone in the Lord Jesus and his word. Paul says it was Jesus that put him into this ministry. Paul, recounting his conversion and also his call into the ministry, quotes the words of Jesus that he spoke to him on his road to Damascus. In Acts 26, Jesus said, "For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you." God has called me into this public ministry. He's called you to support this ministry with your prayers, with your service, with your time, with your offerings, and yes, with your voices, proclaiming the same message I proclaim to others, telling them that Jesus loves them, telling sinners that Jesus receives them, out of love and mercy and his long suffering. We're all witnesses. We're all ambassadors to proclaim the good news of Jesus, that people will be delivered from the power of Satan to God, they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified in Christ. What a shame if on our part we aren't zealous, eager to reach other sinners who are unbelievers. That brings us to the fourth part, that we see ourselves in Paul's life grateful in his service. Paul writes in the last verse, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." God had turned the worst in Paul, being chief of sinners, into a useful purpose, being his chief missionary to the Gentiles for Christ Jesus. As Paul thinks about this, He is overwhelmed. And he breaks out into this hymn of praise to the Lord God. The false teachers of Paul's day were telling them, yeah, believe in Jesus Christ, yeah, it's important. But you need to also do these other things. You need to keep the Old Testament requirements. You need to have all these other regulations on you. And that robs Jesus of all of his glory, all of his honor. The individual who is brought to faith in Jesus Christ alone, who declares before the Lord, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling, gives all honor and glory and majesty and power to Jesus Christ and him alone. That's why the Lord, through Paul, says he's the invisible, the immortal, eternal Son of God. Through Jesus' blood and righteousness, we live throughout all eternity in joyful praise to our Heavenly King. And so in reality, we see that Paul's life story is really not so different from yours or from mine or Timothy's. Through the law, we've been shown that we need our chief of sinners. No excuses. No comparing ourselves with others. Just like Paul and Timothy, we too have been chosen by God's grace and have been objects of Christ's patient love. And also like Paul and Timothy, he's called us into the gospel ministry, myself into public ministry, yourself into personal ministry, to proclaim this good news of salvation to lost sinners, to the glory and praise of our Savior's name, now and throughout eternity. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.